We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 4, in which Sir Graham is surprised. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is invited by Sir Graham Forbes, the Chief Commissioner of Scotland Yard, and by a Major Peters, who is attached to the special branch of the CID, to discover the identity of a notorious criminal known simply as Valentine. During the course of certain investigations, Temple makes the acquaintance of a Sir Gilbert Dryden, a Mr. Charles Kelvin, and a notorious crook known by the name of Snooker Riley. Dryden tells Temple that he suspects that the leader of the organization is a protege of his, a girl called Sheila Baxter. Sheila Baxter is the proprietor of a beauty salon in the West End of London and is known professionally as Madame de Briac. One morning, at Temple's request, Mrs. Temple, that is Steve, visits the beauty parlor and is informed by Sheila Baxter that...
When I was a child, my parents died as a result of a motor car accident, and I was adopted by Sir Gilbert Dryden. I expect he told you that.
Yes.
In those days, Sir Gilbert was sweet and kind and generous. I really can't speak too highly, Mrs. Temple, of the 101 things he did for me. When I left finishing school, I expressed a wish to open a beauty parlour in Brussels. I had a great many friends in that city, and I felt reasonably confident of making a success of the venture. But Sir Gilbert objected. At first, I couldn't quite see why he objected. And then suddenly, one morning, he told me that he wanted me to be his wife. I was amazed. Well, not only amazed, but completely bewildered. I'd always been fond of Sir Gilbert, of course, but I'd never, in my wildest dreams, contemplated the possibility of ever becoming his wife. 2 weeks later, I left for Brussels.
Go on.
During my stay in Brussels, I received several letters from Sir Gilbert in which he repeated the offer he had made. I made a success of my business, and in 1938 I came to England. I was over here several weeks before I actually saw Sir Gilbert, and then he invited me to his house. Once again he proposed, and I turned him down. But this time, Mrs. Temple, there was a change in his attitude towards me, I mean. He'd always been so kind, so gentle, but now he was arrogant, self-assertive, at times almost threatening. He told me quite frankly that no matter how many times I might turn him down, he intended ultimately to have his own way. About 3 nights ago, I visited his house again. When I arrived, Sir Gilbert was in the study. Rather to my surprise, he was talking to a strange, rather unkempt little man he called Snooker Riley.
Snooker Riley?
I overheard part of their conversation. I heard Sir Gilbert make arrangements about the revolver that was to be placed in your bedroom and connected to the electric current. I didn't know what to do. Later, during the night, I made up my mind that the best thing I could do was to telephone your husband.
Go on.
Last night, I saw Sir Gilbert again, and he told me that if I didn't accept his proposal of marriage, he had every intention of contacting either the police or your husband and...
Informing them that you were the leader of an organization trafficking in drugs?
Yes.
Do you think Sir Gilbert is the leader of that organization?
What organization? I don't know, Mrs. Temple. I don't know. I just don't know anything about that sort of thing.
Later the same day, Temple and Sir Graham Forbes pay an unexpected visit to the home of the late Mr. Snooker Riley. This is a houseboat, a somewhat dilapidated houseboat, situated on the river about 2 miles from Silverdale.
Not exactly the Ritz, is it? Just look at the place.
I must have left the cabin like this the night he...
What is it?
I thought I heard something.
No, I don't think so, Temple.
It looks as if Snooker existed exclusively on a diet of sardines.
Yes. It doesn't seem to have been very clever at opening tins, either.
No, he doesn't.
deuce is that supposed to be? Don't tell me that's where the poor devil slept.
Yes. Although I believe in the summer he used to... Do you hear it?
No.
Now do you hear it?
Yes.
Stand over there, Sir Graham, near the door.
Now watch him, Temple.
Listen.
Well, whoever he is, he's on his own.
Sounds like it. Here he comes.
Don't move! Stand where you are!
Why? Sir Graham? Mr. Temple?
Good evening, Major Peters.
Peters? What the devil are you doing here?
Well, if it comes to that, Sir Graham, what the devil are you doing here?
Read this letter, Major Peters.
Hmm? What is it?
It was addressed to Sir Gilbert Drayton.
The package you're expecting will arrive on the 22nd. Meet me as arranged on the houseboat. I shall be there by 11, Valentine.
Valentine? Good heavens. You mean to say that you were here, waiting for Valentine, and I turned up?
Yes.
But why didn't you tell me that you were coming here? Why didn't you tell me about this letter?
Well...
I purposely asked Sir Graham to keep it confidential.
I see. Well, I'm afraid you've let yourself in for rather a damp squib, haven't you, Mr. Temple?
What do you mean?
Well, you expected Valentine.
We got Major Peters.
You still haven't told us what you're doing here, Peters.
Mr. Temple isn't the only one who likes to keep things to himself. You remember that knife we found by Snooker Riley?
Yes.
It has a print on it. Quite a good one.
Whose?
I don't know, Mr. Temple. Not yet. But I want to find out whether the man who handled that knife ever visited Snooker here on the houseboat. If he did, well, that's something to go on. You will observe, Mr. Temple, that I have a fingerprint outfit with me. I hope you'll agree that that substantiates my story.
Your story doesn't need substantiating. If you say that you came here... What's that?
I think it's the sergeant. Wait a minute.
Sergeant Donovan, sir.
We'll be with you in a moment, sergeant.
Very good, sir.
Have you seen anyone?
Only Major Peters, sir.
Well, we'll leave you to it, Peters. Good night.
Good night, Sir Graham. Good night, Mr. Temple.
Good night, Major.
Looks to me as if it's getting foggy, Temple.
It doesn't look too clear. What's that place, Sergeant? Over on the right.
Well, that's a warehouse, sir.
Ah. You must have been up and down the river a few times, Sergeant.
I wish I had as many pounds, sir.
Mm. Ah.
Cigarette.
Thank you, Sir Graham.
Sergeant.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hello, I wonder if this is Peters.
Yes. Sounds like his boat.
I don't know. I should have said...
What's happening?
It sounds to me...
Keep well over to the left, Sergeant.
I don't think that's Peters.
No, it's certainly not Major Peters shouting.
Oh,
turn your lights full on, Sergeant. Quickly.
That's better.
He's over on...
Keep her steady, Sergeant. Keep her steady.
It's not Peters in the boat, Temple. Well, I'm damned if I can see who it is.
They've hit the lamp.
There's a reserve, sir. Over on the port.
Look out!
Oh.
Keep down! Keep down, Sir Graham!
Watch yourself, Temple!
Are you all right, Sergeant?
Yes. I wish to God the swine would put out that blasted light.
Look out!
Oh.
It's going.
Yes.
Are you okay, sir?
I wonder where the other man is. I heard him hit the water.
Yes. You know, it sounded to me, Temple, as if the poor devil was being abducted when he heard our launch.
Decided to make a dash for it.
Yeah.
There he is, sir. Look.
Where? Where? By Timothy, you're right. Pull her over, Sergeant.
Watch yourself, Temple.
Give me your hand, Sir Graham.
For God's sake, don't fall overboard, or we'd never get...
All right, give me your hand. Now, take it steady, Sergeant. Take it steady. Okay, I've got him.
Try and get hold of his arms, Temple, if you can.
Pull, Sir Graham. Here he comes.
He's not an Englishman. Looks to me like a Chinese.
Oh, whatever he is, sir, he looks a goner.
Yes, yes, I'm afraid you're right, Sergeant.
The shot killed him.
Yes. Do you recognize him, Temple?
No, I've never seen him before. I wonder who he is.
Shall I search him, sir?
Wait a minute, Sergeant. He's got something in his hand. It looks to me like a watch chain. Yes. Yes, it is.
He must have pulled it off the man he was struggling with, sir. The man on the boat.
Yes.
Temple? Temple, I've seen that watch chain somewhere before.
You certainly have, Sir Graham. And I know where.
Where?
On Mr. Charles Kelvin.
I'm glad you've taken me into your confidence, Temple. But it seems to me that we've got to believe one or the other. We can't believe both. Mm. Either Miss Baxter is lying about Sir Gilbert, or Sir Gilbert is lying about Miss Baxter. Now, in view of what you've told me,
yes.
I put my money on the girl. I think she's telling the truth.
Yeah, so does Steve. But I'm not so sure.
Well, Miss Baxter, or Madame de Briac, if you like, has got a pretty flourishing business, Temple. She's a good-looking girl, too. Just the sort of girl Sir Gilbert would fall for.
Does he fall easily?
According to all accounts, easily and frequently.
Hmm, I see. Of course, even if she is telling the truth, it doesn't necessarily mean that Sir Gilbert is Valentine. Just
no,
as...
Yeah, if he's telling the truth, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's Valentine either.
Exactly.
Have you seen this girl, Sheila Baxter, yourself?
No. I'm seeing her tonight. Steve's invited her to the flat.
Good. I think that's... What is it, Weatherby?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but Kelvin's here.
Oh, all right, Weatherby. Ask him in. Oh, did you mention the watch chain?
Not a word, sir.
Oh, good.
Superintendent?
Yes, Mr. Temple?
Is Major Peters in?
Yes, I believe he's in his office, sir.
Well, would you be kind enough to give him this cigarette case? Handle it carefully. Tell him I believe there's a fingerprint on it, and I'd like him to check it with the one he found on the knife. The knife that killed Snooker Riley.
Very good, sir. Oh, whose print is it, Mr. Temple?
We'll discuss that later, Superintendent.
Very good, sir.
You sent for Kelvin?
Yes. I thought we might as well hear what he's got to say. By the way, I had the report through this morning from the League of Nations people. They check up for us, you know, on the distribution of narcotics. The figures have risen during the past 2 or 3 months, I'm afraid.
Hmm.
You know, Temple, the thing that beats me is where exactly Valentine makes his contact. He must have a sort of distribution centre, almost a kind of headquarters.
Did you check on the Simon Lee?
Yes, we checked on the Simon Lee, all right. But it seems a pretty reliable sort of vessel, belongs to a first-class company. Of course, O'Hara, the real Captain O'Hara, was mixed up in this business, but so far as we can make out, the rest of the crew seem to be pretty straight.
Mm. I'd like to get my hands on the man who impersonated O'Hara.
If we once got that bird in the cage and made him talk, we'd be getting somewhere.
I'd make him talk, all right.
Mr. Kelvin, sir.
Thank you, Weatherby. Come in, Kelvin. Sit down.
Good morning, Mr. Temple.
Good morning.
Sit down, Kelvin, sit down.
Superintendent Weatherby told me that you wanted to see me, Sir Graham.
Yes. I want you to have a look at this.
What is it? It's a watch chain, of course, but...
Don't you recognize it?
Why, no.
Isn't it yours?
I've never seen it in my life before.
Haven't you, Mr. Kelvin? Haven't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is mine. Only
what?
Where did you find it?
Where would you expect us to find it, Mr. Kelvin?
I don't know, sir. I lost the chain 2 or 3 days ago. I think I lost it the day my wife died.
I see. Mr. Kelvin, tell me, is Charlie King a friend of yours?
Charlie King?
Yes.
I've never heard of the gentleman. What makes you think that he might be a friend of mine?
We picked him out of the river last night. He had your watch chain.
Charlie King? No, I've never heard of anyone called Charlie King.
Mr. Kelvin, my wife tells me that you work for Madame de Briac.
Yes, Mr. Temple.
How long have you been there?
Just over a fortnight.
When my wife said that you'd met before, I believe you deliberately...
I told Madame de Briac that I'd attended to Mrs. Temple at my last place, but that was not true.
Then why did you say it?
Because I didn't want Madame de Briac to know that I'd met Mrs. Temple with Superintendent Wetherby.
Oh?
Why not?
Well, it's difficult to explain, but... You see, when my wife committed suicide, I received an awful lot of publicity. Madame de Briac was nice about things, of course, but... Well, you know, publicity of that kind is not good for business. Not for a business like Madame de Briac's.
I see.
Excuse me, sir, but Bradley's just sent his report through on Charlie King. I thought you might like to see it. It's interesting, sir.
Yes, yes, all right. Mr. Kelvin, would you mind stepping into the other office for a moment? Show Mr. Kelvin into Inspector White's office, Wetherby.
Very good, sir. Follow me, please.
That boy's not telling the truth.
No.
Shall we pick him up?
No. No, I don't think so, Sir Graham. Not just at the moment.
Do you think...
What?
Do you think he's Valentine?
Do you, Sir Graham?
I don't know. I don't know, Temple.
It's an interesting report on Charlie King, sir.
Well, let's have it, Wetherby.
He was 47, lived in Charter Street, was single, but apparently lived with an Italian girl. He did a stretch at Sing Sing in 1926 for peddling dope.
That's interesting.
And another stretch in 31. In 1938, he bought the San Chow restaurant in Eden Street.
San Chow restaurant? Hmm. That's quite an expensive sort of...
Mr. Temple.
What is it, Peters?
Yes, Major.
Mr. Temple, that cigarette case, the one you sent down with Superintendent Wetherby, I've compared the fingerprint with the one on the knife that killed Snooker Riley.
Well?
They're identical.
You're positive?
Absolutely positive.
Whose is it? Whose fingerprint is it, Temple?
Now, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Don't you really have another drink, Miss Baxter?
No, no, really, I must be going. I have an appointment.
Nonsense. Of course you mustn't be going. Here we are, Steve. Give this to Miss Baxter.
No, really, Mr. Temple, I... Oh, thanks.
Skull.
Oh, darling, you always mix them too strong.
It's dynamite.
I'm awfully grateful to you for coming along here tonight and, well...
Repeating my story. I'm afraid it doesn't sound a very plausible one, Mr. Temple, whichever way one looks at it.
Miss Baxter, I meant to ask you, how long have you known Mr. Kelvin?
Mr. Kelvin? Oh, Charles. About 2 months. He used to work for Armand before. Mr. Temple, you don't think that Charles Kelvin's mixed up in this business, do you?
Well... His wife committed suicide, you know that, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I know that, but... She was a strange, emotional sort of girl. Did you ever meet her?
No.
She came to the shop once or twice to see Charles. I rather liked her, but she always seemed so highly strung, so sensitive. I do hope Charles isn't mixed up in this affair, Mr. Temple, because publicity, the wrong sort of publicity, isn't good for my type of business, you know.
No, I suppose it isn't.
Well, now I must be going.
Have another drink.
No, no.
It's a pity you can't stay and have dinner with us.
As a matter of fact, we're going out, darling. But why don't you join us?
That's awfully sweet of you both, but I've got a date. Right.
Well, some other time. We'll make a night of it.
I'd like to. Where are we going, Paul?
I've booked a table at the San Chow, darling, for 8 o'clock.
The San Chow?
Yes, it's in Eden Street. Oh. Remember, Steve, we went there once before.
It's a Chinese restaurant, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I remember. I'll see you out. Good night, Mr. Temple.
Good night, Miss Baxter.
Well?
Well, what, darling?
What do you think of Madame de Briac?
Oh, she's more or less what you described.
Did you believe her story?
It was interesting. Do you want another drink?
No. No, I suppose I'd better get changed.
You remember that knife, Steve? The one that killed Snooker Riley?
Yes.
Major Peters found a fingerprint on it. It was Sir Gilbert Dryden's.
Sir Gilbert Dryden's?
Yes.
Well, doesn't that more or less confirm what Miss Baxter told us? She said she overheard Sir Gilbert talking to Snooker Riley about the revolver. The revolver in our bedroom? What's that?
It's Miss Baxter.
Wait here, Steve. Miss Baxter, what is it? Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, but... Oh, my throat, it's...
Now, take it easy, Miss Baxter. Take it easy. You're all right.
I was getting out of the lift when someone came up behind me. He must have come up the stairs from the basement because... Oh, it was horrible. Horrible, horrible.
Now, just take it easy, Miss Baxter. There's nothing to worry about.
I felt his hands on my neck. I felt his hands getting tighter and tighter. I felt his hands... it was horrible.
I'm all right, Miss Baxter.
Yes, she's all right, darling. Did you recognize him?
No. No, I was frightened. I didn't even look at his face. I caught hold of his jacket. I screamed, I scratched, I kicked. I don't know what I didn't do.
Well, you succeeded in tearing a button off his jacket.
Where?
Look, it's on the floor.
Well, that ought to be useful. Where's your car, Miss Baxter?
Just round the corner.
Do you feel well enough to drive?
Yes. Yes, I feel much better now, thanks. Oh, I wonder who it was, Mr. Temple.
Just don't think about it. Come along. Come along to the car.
Would you like some more coffee?
No, I don't think so. Thanks, darling. You know, I don't remember coming to this restaurant after all, Paul.
Don't you? It's not so long ago. Ricky told us about it.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I wonder how he's getting on.
Ricky? He's getting on all right. You leave that to Ricky.
Why you wanted to introduce him to that film director, heaven only knows. We lost the best servant we ever had.
That's one thing about this place. You can be nice and confidential. Mm. I rather like all this partition nonsense.
I suspect we're the only married couple in the place.
That's just what I was thinking.
You say this place belongs to Charlie King, the man you picked out of the river, what is it, Paul?
Look who's here.
Sir Gilbert Dryden. Now, I wonder why on earth he...
Hello, Mr. Temple. Say, we meet again, sir. Good evening, Mrs. Temple.
Good evening.
I didn't expect to see you here, Sir Gilbert.
Yeah, I quite frequently dine here, Mr. Temple. I suppose you might almost call me an habitué. Mr. Temple, forgive me asking, but...
Yes?
Did you visit the houseboat last night? Remember you...
Yes, we visited the houseboat, Sir Gilbert.
What happened?
Oh, nothing of importance.
Valentine didn't turn up then?
Not unless Valentine happens to be Sir Graham Forbes. Or Major Peters.
Major Peters?
Major Peters is attached to the special branch.
Oh, I see. Ah, I see my guest has arrived. Please excuse me. Goodbye, Mrs. Temple.
Goodbye, Sir Gilbert.
Goodbye, Temple.
Good night, Sir Gilbert.
Darling, darling, did you see his coat? The button, the bottom button of his jacket. It was
missing.
Hmm?
Yes, Steve, I noticed it.
Paul, that proves conclusively.
It doesn't prove anything, darling. It only... By Timothy.
What is it?
That man. The man Sir Gilbert's talking to.
Well?
That's the gentleman I've been looking for.
Who is it?
It's the man that impersonated O'Hara.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes. Now, listen. Listen, Steve. I want you to go outside and get the car. Meet me at the front entrance and keep the engine running.
But...
Now, darling, please do as I tell you.
Yes. Yes, all right.
Waiter.
Sir?
Who's that gentleman talking to Sir Gilbert Dryden?
Where, sir? Oh, that's an American gentleman, sir. A Mr. Leyland.
Well, would you be good enough to tell Mr. Leyland I'd like to see him in the entrance hall?
Certainly, sir. Your name?
Tell him Mr. Kelvin would like to see him. Mr. Charles Kelvin.
Yes, sir.
Here we are.
Oh, thank you, sir. Mr. Kelvin, you said, sir?
That's right, Mr. Kelvin. Oh, and waiter, if you can possibly help it, don't let Sir Gilbert hear what you're saying.
Very good, sir.
Are you looking for someone, Mr. Leyland?
Yeah, the waiter said that,
Remember me? It's a small world, isn't it? Captain O'Hara.
What do you mean? Is this some kind of a joke? Because if it is, I... What's that you've got in your pocket?
What does it look like, Mr. Leyland?
Well, it looks like a revolver.
And that's precisely what it is.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to turn round, walk straight out of here, and get in my car.
And just supposing...
Yes?
Just supposing I don't walk straight out of here, Mr. Temple.
Then you'll be carried out, Mr. Leyland. On a stretcher.
You have been listening to the fourth episode of A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in eight episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Richard Greenwood, Melody Grove, Robin Lang, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.